You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
I'm Lee Brown. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And today we're going to talk dirt or soil or engineering or all the above and the things that you thought were boring in the ninth grade are wildly important to your real estate transaction. Bob Brown is going to talk to us a little bit. He's known as the Dirt Whisperer. So enjoy this conversation, take a few notes, and I'll see you on the other side. Anyway, tell my audience where you're located. Give them a little bit of your background.
So I'm out of Phoenix, Arizona, and I owned a foundation repair business for 35 years here. I graduated from Arizona State University in 1984 in both architecture and it was actually finance / real estate. I could have easily gotten the real estate, but they said, oh, take a few more finance courses. It's more prestigious. And I'm like, all right, whatever. So I did that. And so I sold my company last December. And I'm sort of retired, but not really, because I've done so many of these interviews like this for the book, got software and patents that I have engineers and contractors using. There's just a whole bunch of things going on. So it seems like I'm always running for this, that, and the other. The only difference is I work from home now instead of driving into the office to work. That's about the only difference, really.
So now, if you did foundation repair for 35 years, would you say that the quality of construction has deteriorated in the time that you spent working on foundations? Do you see more foundation problems in newer builds and in older builds? Totally broad brushing here, because I know it depends
on... Well, it's difficult to say, because we typically avoided homes that were within the statute of repose. So the statute of repose in Arizona is 8 years. And if you discover it in the eighth year, you get an additional ninth year. Oh, so okay. Effectively 9 years. And I typically avoided those because all we would do is get pulled on to go into meetings for free consulting. And then it would never result in any work for my foundation repair company. And it was just a waste of time. So we quit pursuing those. And all we did is just basically piss off the home builders anyway, which is not a good thing because those guys are traded on Wall Street. They have pretty much unlimited funds. So in the Phoenix area, they switched to post-tension foundations in about 2003. And those have a different set of problems than the old stem wall. And there's less of an inventory of them. I mean, the inventory of stuff that's older than 20 years is 90% of the inventory that's out there. So it's really hard to kind of see how the time is different. Now, I will say the things I'm hearing scare me. They started out with post-tension slabs being 9 inches thick, then they went to 7. Now they're doing them at 5 inches thick, a monolithic slab with no ribs, 5 inches thick with cables in there. That just sounds insane to me.
There's no ribs in yours?
No. In Arizona, they use what they call a uniform thickness post-tension slab. Instead of cables top and bottom, you have a thick slab, used to be thick, with a cable right in the middle, which I think is almost worthless, but whatever. So I think it could be a lot of problems in the future, but we'll just have to kind of see how it works out.
Well, good. Then whoever bought your business has job security forever. Congratulations.
Yeah. The problem is, when I sold the business, I also had an engineering company, a forensic engineering company that sold at the same time. And their obligation was to continue with that for 3 years. Well, they canned the whole engineering department, all 15 people, within 3 months.
How was that?
I don't know. They don't know how it works. I was bought out by a company that owns a bunch of foundation repair companies, and they know how to do business their way, right? And so they don't want to bother learning something and solving problems with something they don't understand.
They just want to use the clients.
Yeah. And frankly, the model in the industry out there is what they're used to, and it's what everybody else is used to. And that is, hey, we don't really need to figure this out. We're just going to send out a sales guy, and he's going to sell a bunch of stuff, and we're going to go in and fix a bunch of stuff. And it may not be exactly right, but we're making money.
So back to them laying off the engineers. I mean, that's the reason that I, as a realtor, and how I've trained my agents is if you have something that looks questionable on a report, you don't call the repair guy first. You call the engineer. You spend the money on the engineer so you know exactly what to do. And then you get your bids. But I find a lot of agents skip that step because they don't want to spend $1,000 on the
truck. That's exactly right.
You people forget this is the biggest financial instrument most people will ever own or try to own with the mortgage. And then they want to cut corners on things like a cracked foundation, which might be fine. But I want an engineer to tell me that who knows exactly the correct answers before we go calling any of the foundation repair people to look at it.
Right. Here's what happens. And you're way ahead of most realtors on this, but here's what happens.
My daddy raised me this way. So I got trained right.
That's excellent. But here's the problem. Here's what happens to most realtors. The home inspector notices they got a problem, right? Now there's 2 days left in the inspection window. Now what? It's impossible to get a quality report in 2 days. So realtors, first of all, need to put in a clause that says, hey, if the home inspector discovers this, we get an extra 10-day window, right? Nobody does that. And that would be the big help. Now what they do now, all of a sudden they got, oh, I got 10 days left. I don't know anybody. I'll just Google foundation repairs and see what comes up. And of course, who comes up? The foundation repair companies. They're good at marketing. And Basement Systems did my marketing. They have an in-house marketing agency called The Treehouse. They have 100 people just in the internet side alone. I mean, it's a monster. There's no way a little three-person engineering firm can compete with that. It just doesn't happen. So the realtor calls a foundation repair company. And he comes to the house, and what does he do? He wants to sell a big job. So he finds, you know, oh, you need like 25 piers. That's $60,000. Thank you very much. Well, now what happens? Well, the buyer heads for the hills, and the seller, he can't ask his listing agent to lie about this problem, right? So what does he do? He fires the listing agent, cocks it all up, paints it, hides it, and hires a new realtor and doesn't tell him anything. So both the listing agent and the buying agent lose their deal because they called the wrong person. Now, it might need $60,000, but I doubt it. It might just need a grading and drainage. It might not need nothing at all. It might just be, you know, a minor movement that is not a big deal and the engineer can put a seal to that effect. But you got to spend that money. And who wants to spend $900 on something they're not sure they're going to buy, right? That's a tough sell. But it's better than being stuck with a $60,000 bill.
Or not buying the house because you panicked over $60,000 that should have been $12,000.
Right. And now you buy the house down the street where somebody's already been through the process and covered it up. And you get stuck with the bill 3 years later when you start discovering it.
And you can't blame the agents because they didn't have any way of knowing if they had bad information.
Yeah. If the cracks are all covered up and everything's painted. The agent's not going to figure it out. They're not engineers. They're not doing a floor level survey. They're not checking all the deeper signs of problems, checking the windows.
Well, maybe you see a crack, you're supposed to take note of it. But if you don't see a crack, you're supposed to go down there with a flashlight and look for mismatched caulk and
mortar. Can't ask realtors to do that. That's the tool and tuxedo rule, right? If you can't do the inspection with the tuxedo on, then you're not responsible for it. Or if you need a tool, you're not responsible for it, right? If you need a screwdriver or pliers or a flashlight, if you need any of those kind of tools to discover something, then the realtor is not responsible. That's the tool and tuxedo rule.
So in all your years of doing that foundation work, was there ever a something that you felt like realtors could have noticed? Was there something that you felt they were missing that you wish they'd been trained on? What's the dead giveaway that you wish people looked for?
Well, okay. Other than the obvious, which by the way, I mean, I teach CEU classes here in Arizona for realtors. And what I say to them is, first of all, if you have a crack, never opine. I've heard realtors say things like, oh, don't worry about the door not closing in that crack. It's just cosmetic. We're going to get that fixed. And I'm like, oh, you never want to say that. You know, you're just leaving yourself wide open. Other than that, to your point, one thing that people don't check very often is windows. Okay. People sand down the tops or bottoms of doors to make them close. Sometimes you can look at them and go, that doesn't really look very square, but it opens and closes. That's kind of weird. That sort of is a red flag that something moved at some point. But windows, people don't check the windows. And like if they're horizontal sliders and you open it up a little bit and it's pinched at the top and an inch wide at the bottom or something, that's a problem.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
Yeah, that's a problem. It's exactly right.
So talk to me a little bit about The Dirt Whisperer. What got you to write that book? And what was the burning passion you wanted to share with the world?
So I've been in concrete repair for a lot of years. And back around 2000 or I think 1999, Ramjack, which they're a very reputable network of foundation repair contractors, they kind of recruited me and said, hey, we're looking for somebody in Phoenix. Would you like to be our exclusive distributor? Blah, blah, blah. Okay, great. They basically taught me the business. And at first, I just kind of did what I was told, followed their procedures of whatever. But I knew a lot of engineers, and I've been involved in the engineering profession for a long time with my degree in architecture. So I talked to them and they started saying, well, Bob, that's a heat problem. And it doesn't really do any good to put in piers when it's a heat problem. And I'm like, what do you mean? How can you tell the difference? I was totally ignorant. I just learned the hard way. I took their clues and I started researching them and listening to them and talking to these guys and going to seminars and reading books. Pretty soon I started to realize, hey, this is a lot more complicated than I thought it was. And then I started realizing, well, shoot, I got 10 sales guys out in the field and the only training they've gotten is a 2-hour training or maybe a 2-day training from a single source supplier that's basically telling them, hey, when you see cracks in the house, that means it needs piers. So put them in. And that's about the extent of their training. And all the networks do that, every one of them. I just started realizing this isn't right. And not only that, but these guys are paid on 100% commission for everything they find. That's not a good idea, you know?
They're going to find something they're paid to.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of reminds me of in the medieval days where they would send out these guys on a commission to find witches and burn them on the stake. How many did they find? A whole lot, because they got a commission for everyone. The same kind of thing. And so engineers, by the way, by law, cannot accept a job on a commission basis.
No,
right.
The Arizona state law?
I think it's just about that way in every state, and it's in their ethics and everything else. They either have to be paid by the hour or by the job.
Okay. So is that a PE? Is that a PE?
That's right. Yeah. And the other problem is I discovered that sales guys are not regulated by anybody. Engineers are regulated by their state boards, right? Foundation repair sales guys, they could tell people that the moon is made out of green cheese and nobody holds them responsible for it. And not only that, but they say a lot of things verbally and nothing in writing, which is then it's really hard to hold them responsible, right? So I figured this out and I started an engineering company to basically handle the diagnosis part. And I built a whole system around keeping sales and engineering completely separated from each other. And I tried to get other people to follow my example. I tried for years. I speak at the National Foundation Repair Association meeting. I've done it for like 8-9 years. I've spoken there. And they all say, yeah, you're right. I mean, we should be doing that, but it's too hard. We can't figure it out. It's just too difficult. And I'm like, guys, it's not rocket science, but nobody would do it. And when I sold the company and I thought, well, at least there's one company that will be doing it. Well, nope, not even that company now. So I decided that really the best model really is to help engineers offer this service. And there's not very many engineers that do it. I've been building a directory because I have a pretty decent following. And they're always asking me, okay, I'm in Wisconsin or I'm in Alabama or I'm in Boston. Who can I call? And I'm like, I got to find some people. And so I started doing research and I'm about halfway done. It's a lot of work, but I think there's maybe 50, 75 residential forensic engineers. That's not very many for 50 states.
You total across all 50 states.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's not very many. There's not. And places like
my favorite guy here is retiring. So that's at least one you're going down.
Where are you at?
I'm in Concord, North Carolina.
Yeah. North Carolina has a few. Texas has a few. Kansas has a surprising number of them. Places like North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, even like Michigan, Missouri. I mean, they're lucky if they have one. They're really lucky if they have one. Arizona has really only one right now. I know a bunch of them. I'm trying to get some recruited.
If you are remotely awake, then you know that we are heading into some really tricky economic times. We have home buyers that have put the kibosh on buying. We have sellers who have found out suddenly their houses aren't dipped in 14 karat gold. And as a realtor, you are still trying to keep up with the business you have and trying to answer questions in the meantime while also managing sky high fuel cost at the pump. Never fear, because my new video course is coming out right now and it's called How to Dominate During a Recession. I've been a realtor for 22 years. My business went up every year during the Great Recession, and it's all because of education. This course is 4 modules. There might even be some bonus content for you. The price is $199. I am delighted to bring this out as quickly as possible because, friends, there's no time like the present to make sure our neighbors are stronger and we protect the American dream. Click on this link, www.dominatethisrecession.com, and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content.
Engineers, most of them do their work in new design for infrastructure work. Freeways, dams, sewer systems, water systems, all the big jobs. And they have this misperceived concept that it's very risky. And it is if you're doing new construction for residential because you have all those class action lawsuits. But it's not to do forensic work one at a time for homeowners. It's not risky at all. We never got sued even once. And I know lots of engineers who've done it for 20 years and only sued once maybe or something. It's an inconsequential dollar amount. And so you have to change all these perceptions. They're terrible at marketing. You have to help them market. I've developed the software to help speed up their time, more cost effective, but you just got to convince them to do it. And it's tough. And then helping people find them. That's the other half of it, right? So it's my mission to try to change the whole industry, to fix it. I have this vision that someday, every time there's a real estate transaction, just like you hire an appraiser and a home inspector, you hire a foundation inspector, because now you've got that data from 5 or 10 years ago that you can compare it to. Now you've got really good floor elevation data and the crack data and all that. Now you can compare it and see how it moved over time. That's super valuable data. Long ways to get to that point. I got to walk before I run. And the first thing is to just try to make an industry, first of all, the one that doesn't hardly even exist at all, right?
Right. So inventory. But, you know, think about the number of kids coming out of school that don't know where to land. And there's so many opportunities like this, a niche business that they could be highly successful, be entrepreneurial and still do engineering work, but they never heard of it.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, I taught a class for one of my professor friends about 2 months ago at Arizona State. And that was the topic of my class is like, hey, you guys should think about making a difference in the world, doing something that's worthwhile, that's really needed. The problem is, honestly, you have to serve a 2-year internship with somebody before you can get your PE license. Well, you're going to go work for one of these big companies for 2 years, and then engineers are not big risk takers, right? Well, now I got to leave a steady job and go like figure out how to like be an entrepreneur. That's not
I'm married to one. The risk taken, not his talent. He's been the same job for 27 years because engineers don't do change.
Yeah. I have a friend who is married to an engineer, and she says to me, Bob, it's crazy. He has all of his shirts lined up in the closet. And he changes them out each spring and each fall to long sleeve and short sleeve and to go into the spare closet.
He's perfectly happy with that. He's fine.
Yeah.
So in doing the research for your book, was there anything that you never knew in all of your 35 years? Or is the book really just built on your personal experiences?
Mostly built on my personal experiences. One of the things that I discovered is that, and engineers still take umbrage with me, but it's true. Most of them don't know how to do a residential forensic investigation. They show up and take lots of pictures and opine and whatever, but that's not what you really need. I mean, that's helpful, but you need a lot more than that. And especially people call structural engineers. Structural engineers are not the right guys. This is a soil problem. You really want to be calling a forensic geotech engineer. You call out a structural engineer and he says, oh yeah, well, you've got cracks, but you know, your structure is not structurally deficient. Well, yeah, we knew that. We knew the house wasn't ready to fall down. These are serviceability issues, functional issues. There's still huge problems that need to be solved, but that doesn't mean that the house is ready to fall down. So then you ask the structural engineer, well, could this be a problem? Oh yeah, if the house keeps moving, it could be a structural problem.
And that's exactly what the report says is we cast the future because the dirt may move, which means if the soil wasn't properly compacted at the beginning, you haven't solved the problem. And I love bringing this up because balancing and compacting are...
Well, it's more complicated than that. So that's exactly right. What happens is you ask the engineer, is it going to continue to move? And he's like, well, you need a geotech engineer for that. And we're like, oh, okay, I just wasted all my money. I should have called the geotech to begin with. And a lot of people have this misperception about soil. They think it's one big, solid, contiguous, massive, homogeneous dirt. But in fact, the dirt is laid down in layers over time. And each of those layers has different mineral contents, different densities, different affinities for water, and water moves through them differently. It's very, very complicated. And you know what? It could be compacted just fine. Matter of fact, it could be over-compacted. And that happens sometimes. You get over-compacted or clays that get compacted too tight and you add water to them. Guess what? You got a giant heat problem on your hands, right? And guess what? It could be that one layer is expanding and one layer is consolidating. You have to really know what you're doing with the soils. And that's why you need a geotechnical engineer. And then you can start to understand, okay, I know the geology of the area. I understand how the soils were deposited. Here's what we need to watch out for in this particular niche corner area of town. All those kinds of things that structural engineers just don't have a clue about.
I'm just sitting here thinking like the agents don't have the beginning of knowledge on this. And I'm thinking about where I am, which is North Charlotte, we have the red clay in some areas.
Right.
We also have bull talla, which is what my daddy called it. Do you call it bull talla in Arizona?
I've never heard that term.
That's the yellow clay. And that's the
okay.
stuff you can't put a septic field in because it doesn't drain.
And yeah, right. Doesn't go anywhere. Yeah.
It's a little bit.
Yep.
And so within one parcel, you may have three different types of soil that
right.
may be so
right.
different. What do builders do? Bring in topsoil for an inch and a half and try and hide the bull talla and the red clay underneath. And you just don't know on day one what 5 years from now is going to look like or 10 years. And we desperately need some CE on this topic because, good gosh, I mean, the Realtors yeah. Land Institute people might know, but that's a small affiliate group, and a residential agent doesn't know to ask the developer about or a builder.
At least in Arizona, in my opinion, they don't do a thorough enough investigation on new construction. They have 50, 75 acres, and they'll go out and put a boring into 4 feet deep
one every
5 acres or something. It's not really very helpful. I mean, it's somewhat helpful, I guess, but I've seen a lot of problems because they just didn't really understand the soils good enough.
So maybe this is an opportunity, all my listeners and viewers, wherever you are in the country operating, maybe you need to reach out to the ninth grade teacher at the high school who's doing the geology class and them what they know about your soils in your area or in your state, because you may have a great resource in the educational system, and then you can go from there once you've obtained a little bit of knowledge. I think then you call your geoengineer, because if you don't know the types of soil in your area, you may be getting ahead
right.
of your game. So start from square one with the education. I think that's going to be wildly important. And so, Bob, if a realtor in Wyoming picks up your book, The Dirt Whisperer, is there going to be something in there that will guide them towards a better professional outcome for their clients?
For sure. I mean, the basic advice, don't call a foundation repair company. Hopefully that comes through loud and clear in the book. But then there's resources in there.
Call them after you know what you're looking for.
Well, I mean, here's what happens. You get a poor old homeowner. They call three foundation repair contractors. One guy says you need 9 piers. One guy says you need 12. Another guy says you need 25, maybe on the other side of the house. Well, which one's right? Well, how's the homeowner supposed to know? They go with the one that they feel the most comfortable with, right? Which is what? The guy that's the best salesman, which is probably the guy that's the least qualified to be an engineer, because
the engineers aren't salespeople by nature.
Right, right. It's like asking salespeople to do accounting work. It's never going to work. They're two opposite personalities. And so it's just a giant mess. Now, I will tell you, you said find your geology. I'll give you a little clue right here. The National Soil Conservation, NCRS, publishes a website that you can go to and find out at least some bare information about the soils in your particular area. They make a little map, and you can look on the map and you can see, there's a lot of clays in my area, or not. At least that's something. I mean, it's not exactly accurate. It's not perfect, but it's better than nothing, right? At least it's a start and it's easy to access.
At least it gives you the vocabulary to start a conversation.
Right.
And of course, Bob and I are not suggesting that you lay yourself out as an expert or that you make proclamations. You heard him earlier say you shouldn't be making proclamations. But if you've done some research and you know the vocabulary, at least when you're talking to a pro, you'll have a basis for some information that can help your clients. Bob, if they want to reach out to you about the classes that you teach or about your books, what's the best way for them to find Bob Brown/RK/Robert Brown?
Well, the easiest way is Foundation Repair Secrets. If you'll remember that name, if you Google it, that'll be my book. That'll be my website. And in the very beginning of my book, I put a vocabulary glossary in there. That'll give you the terms that you need to talk the right talk. At least you'll understand what a depositional layer is, or what heave is, or what settlement is, or what clays are, all that kind of stuff. Compaction, the very basic things are in there. And it will help you understand it. There's a whole lot to learn, but by all means, what you should do is try to find an expert in your area and get to know them, have a relationship with them. Hey, market yourself as a differentiator, that you have good knowledge and good contacts and good experts that you work with that can help you with these problems. And if you're a listing agent, go ahead and call these guys ahead of time, get a clean bill of health, get a seal on it. And if it's not a clean bill of health, then get it fixed before the transaction starts, then get a clean bill of health, then get a seal that says everything's been done accordingly. And now you don't have to worry about your seller firing you because the inspector brought up something that nobody wants to pay for.
It's just a chance to be the bigger professional. And no matter how long you've been in real estate, y'all, there's always something you can learn and be stronger in your game. And as Bob says, make sure you're marketing that as a differentiator in the market. Not that you're an expert or that you're special, but just say you've gotten educated and you're continuing to, and you know the expert. That's always
that's right. That's right. Know the expert. That's the key.
So that's what your list is for. So get one of these pros on your list.
Right.
Bob, we really appreciate you coming on the show and giving us some different perspectives to think about. I know I'm picking up your book for training for my agents, and I know they're going to be excited to have another perspective that they can bring to the table. So I'm very grateful for your information.
And I'm happy to do a Zoom training.
Well, there you go. All right, guys, you heard that. You can Zoom with Bob, you can buy his book, but most importantly, you can be a better and more professional agent if you'll just add to your tool belt. And by the way, if you're a consumer who was watching this, this might be a good question to ask the agents you're interviewing if they have done some research so that you will know your property is being represented in a really well-rounded way. Bob, we're glad you came on the show and hope you have a great success in bringing more information to the masses and building out a brand new industry niche.
Awesome. Well, I had a lot of fun here and thank you very much for giving me the time. It's been a great time.
All right, guys, make sure you type something you learned in the comments below or say something nice to Bob. Follow the show for more, and we'll see you next time on the show.
As always, I am so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you have some fun, then you totally won't just subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.